Good morning. Really, thank you so much for having me here today. I was privileged to share some about our ministry in Japan. For those who weren't there or don't know, my family and I are missionaries in Nagoya, Japan, with Mission to the World. We have a little science project booth back there for you to look at and peruse about our ministry, and we were able to share this morning. And I'm just glad to be here with you today to share God's Word. Please forgive my voice. I may cough or take a sip of water. We're still getting over all that's going around, so bear with me in that. But we do appreciate you all. You are a supporter of our ministry, and even before that, you've been gracious enough to let us come and share about our ministry and tell you all about what God's doing in Japan. So thank you for all you do, not just here in Winchester, but throughout the world. So we certainly do appreciate you all at Eagle Heights. But now let's turn our attention to God's Word. And the scripture today comes from 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. And this is the Word of God. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. Before we begin, let's say a word of prayer, inviting the Holy Spirit to aid us in our exposition of His Word. Dear Lord, we do thank you for this morning to come and gather to worship you. We thank you for all that you have done, that we learned today that even in the hard times, Lord, you are working, and it's for our benefit and your glory. And we just thank you that you are a God who is with us in the good times, with us in the bad, and does all things to our good. Lord, we pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit today, Lord, that you would be with us, that you would just apply your word to our hearts, and as we seek to learn the truths of your word, Lord, just by your Holy Spirit, just grant us that understanding. Praise in your name. Amen. So it's the new year, and I think it's maybe not always exciting, but it's always new for us, and because it signals a fresh start. We leave behind the things that didn't work or the things that we didn't like of the past year, and we move ahead in anticipation that this next year will be better than the last. This idea is not just in this culture, it's common to every culture. Now, Japan has New Year's parties where the goal is to forget the past year and to start fresh for the next year. And in fact, if you look at the Chinese characters, it's called the Forget Year Party. And so so the whole idea being move on and maybe this year will be better. And also we have spring cleaning here. There, their houses are cleaned in the new year. Again, to start fresh. Get rid of the old dirt. Start fresh with a new clean house. Here, of course, is a tradition of New Year's resolutions. You know, we promise to lose weight or eat healthier this coming year, and everywhere we see the New Year, New You logos or mottos and places. And, you know, it's good to want to improve our physical health, but that's really all we focus on, right? How do we improve our physical health, our outside health, our conditions, our situations? And as we start this new year, I just want to point to this exhortation that Peter writes to improve our spiritual health. And he ends this letter of 2 Peter by stating and instructing them to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And as believers in Christ, this should be our daily goal because it's very important to the life of the believer. So I want to look today at what Peter means by growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus. I want to look at how we grow in grace and knowledge, and I want to look at why it's important. So let's first look at what Peter means by growing in grace. And if we look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, it says, "For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God." So from this we know that you have been given grace at the very moment you believe and accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Now this grace that's given to the believer is the same from the beginning of your Christian life to the end of it. And it's important to understand that growing in grace does not mean that the grace that God has shown us becomes greater or changes in any way. Now, when you become a Christian, all of your sins are forgiven, right? So growing in grace does not mean that you become more forgiven than you were before. This is because there's no higher level of forgiveness than what you already have. You can't be more forgiven than you already are. And in that same vein, you can't be more saved than you already are. You can't be given more grace than you already have. So growing in grace does not mean that our grace grows. Growing in grace means to grow in maturity as a believer and follower of Christ. In other words, it means to grow in our understanding of what Jesus did for us and to grow in our appreciation of the grace He has shown us. It means to grow to be more Christ-like, to die to our sins, and more, to grow unto righteousness. In 1 Corinthians 3, chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, Paul says, "Brothers and sisters, I cannot address you as people who live by the Spirit, as people who are still worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you are not yet ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. You are still worldly. For since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere humans?" Now, the Bible often uses birth as a metaphor for the Christian life. When you become a Christian, you are born again. And just like a baby has to grow and mature, Christians must grow and mature as well. And in this verse, Paul says that the Christians in Corinth are still infants in Christ, not yet mature. The sign of their immaturity is their jealousy and their quarreling. And in the same way, when we first became Christians, we are still infants. We are not yet mature. We still hold on to our sin patterns and our worldly thinking. We need to grow in grace and mature as Christians, and when we mature as Christians, we are able to understand more of God's Word. And when we grow in grace, we are better able to serve God. And when we grow in grace, we are better able to love God and to love others. Therefore, it's important that we don't stay as infants in Christ, but that we grow to mature believers. So this begs the question, how do we do that? Now, the grace that we receive, it only comes from God, and growth of this grace is only found in God. So in other words, we grow in grace and spiritual maturity through fellowship with God and through the power of the Holy Spirit. So where grace comes from, that's where we grow in the grace. And practically speaking, this means attending worship, attending Bible studies, reading the Bible on your own, and prayer. Part of the ministry we have in Japan involves teaching English, and I always tell my English students that it is impossible to get better at English when you study only 1 hour a week. Practice and review outside of class is essential for growing in your language ability. And in the same way, it's very difficult to mature as a Christian by only attending church for 1 hour every week. Of course, it's very important to come to church to worship and hear the sermon with other believers and have that fellowship, but Christianity does not mean that we just go to church on Sunday so we can fulfill our Christian duty for the week. There are 168 hours in a week, and my English students hear English for 1 hour and then hear Japanese for the other 167. Just think how difficult it is to remember English, let alone get better at English, when you only practice for 1 hour out of every 168. And it's the same with our faith. How can we mature as Christians if we only hear about God for 1 hour every week and then ignore Him for the other 167 hours? Now, of course, God can work through His Holy Spirit despite the circumstances, but it's very difficult for us when we are only hearing about God and fellowshipping with God for 1 hour. See, we have a God who wants to be in a daily, personal relationship with us. So scripture reading, constant prayer, and fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ is essential for our growth in grace. Now, as I say this, I recognize that these things are not easy. These things do not come naturally to us. It's a daily battle to sit down and read your Bible or find time for prayer or get together with others to study the Bible. And this is a battle that we often lose because it's easy to find an excuse to do it later and later until it's never done at all. There are many excuses, but, you know, we're too busy today or Bible is maybe too difficult to understand to read through this section. And I know that we're all busy with children and work and errands and many other things. And I know that some days it's impossible. I don't want to be legalistic, but I want to encourage you to find time each day, if possible, to spend time with God. And I read a book a while ago where the author was talking about this very thing. He decided that as a Christian, he needed to spend more time in the Word. And so he decided that only in the early hours could he have time to have the quiet and also to have the time to read his Bible and pray. So while everyone was still sleeping, he would wake up and read his Bible and pray. And he said that for the first few months, it was extremely difficult. You know, he dreaded that alarm clock every morning. Every morning, all he wanted to do was just hit that snooze button and stay in bed a little bit longer. But each morning as he got up and spent time with God and his Bible reading and praying, gradually he noticed his attitude changing. He noticed his growth in grace, God working in his heart, his maturing. He began to look forward to his time with God each morning. Then he felt strange if he didn't spend time with God each morning. Then his daily times with God became an essential part of his day. His daily Bible reading and prayer, it may have started out because he felt like he should be doing it. But more and more, through his reading and prayer, his fellowship with God, the work of the Holy Spirit on his heart, he is desiring more and more. It was a heart desire of him to want to spend time with God each day. And I believe the same is true for us. Now, it's not just grace here that Peter talks about. It's knowledge. And in verse 18, Peter tells us to grow, as we see, in the grace and the knowledge. So reading Scripture doesn't just help us to grow and mature as Christians, but it helps us to learn more about who Jesus is. Now, this is important for one reason, because there are many other religions and teachers who teach a false gospel. They teach things that seem to fit with the Bible, but actually go against what the Bible says. Now, we often think this isn't the case nowadays. We hear about the councils of old church history or the issues that Paul was dealing with in Galatians and think, well, that doesn't happen today, but it does. All over, there's false gospels leaking into the church. And knowing the Bible, knowing Jesus and who he is and what he says helps guard against that. You know, this happened from the time beginning. It hasn't stopped. Think back to what Satan said to Eve in the Garden of Eden. As Satan was tempting her to eat the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So God, of course, had earlier warned her that, or in Adam, that they would surely die if they ate the fruit of that tree. But Satan came and said that, no, you're not going to actually die. You're going to become like God. And he doesn't want that to happen. So Satan here twists God's word. So is God lying and Satan telling the truth? Well, it may have seemed that way, right? But Satan was twisting God's word. God wasn't speaking of a physical death, but a much worse spiritual death. And just as God had said, when Adam and Eve ate the fruit, sin entered and they both became spiritually dead. They chose to believe Satan's false interpretation of God's word, and it led to destruction. After the fall, again, there have been countless people who have taught a message that goes against the Bible. It sounds good and many are attracted to the message, but it's not from God. Peter, in fact, is writing this letter because of this very problem. The book of 2 Peter is a letter to Christians warning them about false teachers and to protect themselves against the false teachers. In fact, if you read from 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 16, go up a couple of verses, you see that discerning false teaching is why Peter instructs his audience to grow in grace and knowledge. It says, there are some things in them that are hard to understand, which the ignorant and unstable twist to their own destruction, as they do the other scriptures. You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, take care that you are not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your own stability, but grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Well, knowledge is not just important to discern false teaching. It's important because growing in knowledge and growing in grace, they're not mutually exclusive. They're very closely tied to one another. So much so that one cannot grow in grace if there is no growth in knowledge. Charles Spurgeon said, "In fact, there cannot be any grace at all except as we know Christ. And there can be no growth in grace except as we grow in our knowledge of Christ." We may always test whether we are growing by this question. Do I know more of Christ today than I did yesterday? Do I live nearer to Christ today than I did a little while ago? For increase in the knowledge of Christ is the evidence as well as the cause of true growth in grace. So do we ask ourselves those questions? Do I know more of Christ today than I did yesterday? Do I live nearer to Christ today than I did a little while ago? Again, it's a daily growth, a daily thing that's important to keep in our Christian life. And now, why should we grow in grace? Of course, as a Christian, this isn't a question we should be asking, but I'm going to go through why we should we grow in grace. Sometimes when I watch our kids play, or watch small children, you notice that they can do a lot of things that older kids or adults just can't do for the simple fact that they're kids. For example, Tobin, my oldest here, who's with me here, he had this Superman shirt with the cape on the back. You may have seen at Target. And that's a cute shirt for a kid. But imagine if an adult was walking around with a shirt like that on. And, you know, people would just sit and wonder, like, you know, there's something wrong with him or something's off with him. You know, why would he still act like a child or do a childish thing? It's because we're not meant to remain a child. We are meant to grow and mature. It's the same with our spiritual life. We are not meant to stay as spiritual children, but to mature and grow into spiritual adults. As Hebrews 6, 1 through 2, verses 1 through 2 says, "Therefore, let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death and of faith in God." So knowledge of God, which brings spiritual growth and maturity, is also important because it brings many blessings to your life. So, for example, when you grow in grace, your faith will grow. In Mark chapter 9, Jesus heals a boy, but before he does, he says, "Everything is possible for him who believes." And the boy's father says his famous line, "I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief." And I think all of us can say this. All of us can think at a time where we've been able to say this. We believe in God, but there are times we struggle with unbelief. We sometimes aren't quite sure God is in control of everything. We aren't quite sure when we're being refined, that was talking about in the children's message, that God is really behind all of that. God's the one moving the waters. It doesn't seem that way to us. It's sometimes hard to believe all of God's promises are true. But growing in grace and knowledge also grows our faith so that we strongly believe in all of God's truths and promises. That the hardships of our circumstances don't drown out and blind us to the promises and the truths of God. Our faith doesn't waver with our changing circumstances, but stays strong despite the storms of life. See, how can we doubt when we know that God works all things out for the good of those who love Him? But not only faith, when you grow in grace, your love grows. Love not only for God, but for others, because our love for others flows out of our love for God. We love and appreciate God more for what He did for us, and we become like the man I spoke about earlier, whose day did not feel complete until he spent time with God. When this happens, every word, thought, and deed is affected by the strong love we have in Christ. See, how can our love for God and others not grow when we know that while we were still God's enemies, He sent His Son, who knew no sin, to become sin, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God? Not only that, when we grow in grace, we grow in hope. This hope in the riches of His glorious inheritance to which He called us becomes not just a distant dream, but a nearby reality. It's not a hope that we are pretty sure might happen one day, but it's a hope that we can be certain of receiving. It's hope of something better that destroys any fear of death, so that we may say, as Paul said, "For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain." See, how can we despair when we know that God, in His great mercy, has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, never spoil, and never fade? And when we grow in grace, we grow in humility. See, pride is at the root of many problems in this life, many of our sins. Excuse me. And the Bible is clear that God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. There's no room for pride in the life of the Christian. We must think of others as better than ourselves and grow in humility until we can honestly say, I am less than the least of all God's people. And also, as Tim Keller writes, humility is not just thinking less of ourselves, but thinking of ourselves less. It's putting others' needs first and not our own. See, how can you put yourself first when you know that Christ, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking on the form of a servant. Being born in the likeness of men and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. And this was done for you. Growing in grace helps us to grow in contentment. It's often difficult to be content with our situations. We are often wishing that we had more than what we already have. We look at the wealthy and long to have what they have in their easy life. However, when we grow in grace, we find our contentment is not in material possessions, not in what we have or circumstances. It's in who we are in Christ. All earthly possessions and luxuries are nothing compared with being called God's son or daughter. When this becomes true for us, we are able to say, as Paul said, I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. How can you be discontent when you know that those who see the Lord lack no good thing? Think back to the passage I read from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, where Paul was telling the Corinthians they were still spiritual infants. The result of their spiritual immaturity was jealousy and quarreling and worldly thinking. These things are still present in the mature Christian, but are gradually overcome by humility, love, and godly thinking. And think about how this impacts our relationships. Think about how this impacts our Christian witness. When you naturally exhibit this love, humility, faith, and contentment that is found in Christ, other people will notice. Other people notice that you have something different. And other people are attracted to this because it is a glimpse of God that they see through you. Instead of selfishness, there's thinking of others. Instead of quarreling, there's love. Instead of pride, there's humility. And when we show these traits of the mature Christian, relationships are improved and evangelism is effective. When we first become a Christian, we are weak in faith, love, hope, humility, and contentment, but in time these areas strengthen and grow through hearing God's Word preached and reading the Bible and prayer and study. And this growth takes time. It's slow, and we never reach a full spiritual maturity in this life, but it's vital to the life of the believer. So a Christian who never matures and grows is like an adult who still runs around with that Superman cape on. And it's not a pretty picture. And so as we enter this new year and look forward to these fresh starts that so often define this time of year, let's remember the importance of our spiritual health as well. Remember the importance of growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do this not so you can find more favor with God or feel like you've fulfilled a Christian duty, but because doing so brings us into a closer relationship with God. And doing so is glorifying to God. It strengthens our faith. It strengthens our hope. It strengthens our love. It keeps us humble. It keeps us content. And above all of these things, it brings about a life that is honoring and glorifying to God, which is a life that we were all meant to live. Let's pray. Lord, we again just thank you for your word. Just this short verse, Lord, just reminds us that to grow in the grace and knowledge. It reminds us of the grace that you have given us. It reminds us that all the grace we have and however we may grow in grace is from you and you alone. And so we pray to you, Lord, first thanking you for the grace you have given, thanking you for the forgiveness you have shown, for the mercy you have shown, and praying that we would continue to grow in this grace, that we would not let the busyness of life or the the other issues that go on keep us from being in your word and being in fellowship with you, and pray that you would just honor that time, that we would grow in maturity, and so that during the difficult times, the uncertain times where we don't know what the future holds, the uncertain times where you don't seem to be in control, where it's easy to think that you've left us, Lord, help us to grow in our faith and our knowledge so that we trust in your promises fully and know, Lord, that you have taken us this far, that you have preserved us this far, and that you will continue to until the end. And you have promised so in your word, and help to write that on our hearts and to live it out daily in our lives, that we would be content in Christ, we'd be humble in Christ, that we would be loving in Christ, all because Christ first loved us. Christ was the ultimate example of humility, and because Christ is in Christ, we have the ultimate contentment, Lord. And just pray that you just impact that, our hearts with that. Put that on our hearts as we go from here. Pray that it would affect our relationships, affect our evangelism, that those would see us and say, and see something different, and know that comes not from anything inherited in us, not from any secret we have, but from Christ, from God. And they would be drawn to you through that. And pray that you would use us in that way to share with others and to show others just the grace and the knowledge that can come only from you. And we pray this in your name. Amen.